Bible's the book of 2 Thessalonians. I'm just going to read three verses. Verses 10, 11, and 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, Walter has spoken about this passage, and I agree with everything Walter has said about it. God sends strong delusion to some because it pleases him to do so. That's it. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Psalms 115 and verse 3. That statement is as true today as it was in David's time. That statement will be true tomorrow. That statement will be true forever, because it's about God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Malachi wrote down the words of the Lord: for I am the Lord, I change not. He didn't stop there, though. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's a good thing for us that God doesn't change if you're a believer. It's a good thing for us that Jesus Christ does not change if you're a believer. Because if Christ doesn't change and God doesn't change, if God be for us, who shall be against us? Not God. Never God. Because he doesn't change. Now, for me personally, sometimes change is good, because I need improvement. Still, I think I have improved, but then, you know, it's my opinion, which is suspect on a good day. But I think I have improved. I do. But I know, certainly, I need more. So change is not always bad for me. But I don't want God to change. Because if God is for us, he's always been for us. And he always will be for us. God has always been for his people. Jesus Christ has always been for his people. You want to know when that started? Before the foundation of the world. Because he had never changed. This is the problem I run into sometimes when people say prayer changes things. It don't change God. It might change your mind or something else, but it doesn't change God. Paul prayed for a change. He got an answer. Said no. He wanted to be released from a thorn in the flesh. God said no. My grace is sufficient. God was still for him. But that's what people think. Walter, you've been there. Seen some woman shaking, holding on to a potbelly stove. Crying out, oh God, do this. Oh God, do that. If God's going to do it, God will do it. And if God has done it, God has done it.
Amen.
The reason people think that they want God to change is because they think by prayer or devotion or good works or whatever, things will get better for them or possibly their loved ones. Christ talked about them that said that they thought they were heard because of their much speaking. That was, he was talking about it negatively. It was a negative. You're not heard for your much speaking. He said, when you pray, go into your closet. Don't do it in front of everybody. I don't know where these people get this stuff. Well, I do, but we're not going to go into that. But they think if they're a little more holy or they do some more good works, God will think better of them.
That's what they mean.
And better things will happen to them. There's a whole so-called gospel built around this. Mm-hmm. It's called the health and wealth gospel, which is not a gospel. Or the whole heresy of the health and wealth gospel, if you want to call it that. Believers should know better than this. But it's a hard thing to think the way God thinks. For lost people, it's impossible. And it shows. It leaks out. Because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. His ways are holy, and mine are not. And that's the bottom line. I wish my ways were holy. I wish my thoughts were holy. And if sometimes, perchance, by accident they are, it's not an accident. It's him that both worketh in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. I can't even take credit for that. If I have a good thought, I can't take credit for it. Because I'm still depraved. And the world doesn't know anything about depravity. I mean, not a thing. I'm going to get into that in a little bit. But he added it. Malachi added on there. Actually, God said it. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. There's a reason for that. If God's for you, it doesn't get any better than that. If God is for you, there is nothing better. There's only worse. And that's true even if you're sitting on a garbage heap poking at a boil with a piece of a broken pot.
Amen.
Like Job. Scratching at boils. God was still for him. And Job knew it. His miserable comforters didn't know it. But Job knew it. This is true. Now, it takes a while to understand this. It takes some experience. But understanding, well, what's his name said it? The Elihu said it. Understanding should come with age and wisdom. It doesn't always, but it should. It should come with age, experience, but more importantly, a growth in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. And you'll learn this, as I have learned this, over the past, whatever, God, how old am I now? I'm 52 years old. So it's almost been 30 years, 29 years. I've known a little bit about Christ. All things work together for good.
Yeah.
To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. That's true. You may not know it at the time, and it may be a year down the road or two or three or four where you can look back and say, I am better off than I was before.
Yeah.
And God didn't change to do it. God's still the same. All things are still good for them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. All things will always be good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Because God doesn't change. Nothing's better than that. This is one of the great blessings of sovereignty and predestination in the mind of a believer, not in anybody else's. Because it says it, we have the mind of Christ. It's in there. God has always been for his people. When I didn't know it, when I didn't believe it, God was, and God is, for me. If I know him. And I trust him. And I believe him. Now, I said all that to say this. And this is the part that people hate. And this is why people fight against this so much. Because the inverse is also true.
That's right. That's exactly right.
The inverse is also true. If God is not for you, then God never has been for
right.
you.
Right.
And will never be for you.
Right. Yeah.
God does save sinners.
Yes, he does. Yes.
But he doesn't save all sinners. Mm-hmm. There are those, Jude wrote it, who were of old ordained to this condemnation. I talked about condemnation last week. It's here. It's not coming. It's here. This is the condemnation. Men love darkness. Men hate light. Men won't come to the light because their deeds are evil and the light would reveal them. I know because by his grace, I believe I came to the light and I found out my deeds were evil.
Right. Me too.
And they still are.
Right.
I'm still depraved.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope is to one day wake in his likeness.
Yeah.
Or be, you know, not die and translate it.
Mm-hmm.
I could live with that. I could take that. I like the idea of that. I like the idea of waking up in his likeness too.
Yeah. Amen.
Because God's for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God's for his people. These that were of old ordained to this condemnation, they are called ungodly men.
Mm-hmm.
And they lie about God and Christ, and they deny God and Christ. They have strong delusion that they believe a lie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think it's strong, just talk to them. Trust me, I've done it.
Amen.
That's where you find out a little bit of that truth, Mason, about casting pearls before swine.
Yeah.
And though it might turn and rend you. Luckily, we live in a day and age where people are afraid of a cop, and most people don't try to beat me up. Thank goodness. But I did have somebody wave a fist at me once. And I wasn't even mad at him. He wasn't mad at me. He was mad at God.
Mad at God. That's exactly right.
And didn't know it. He thought he was mad at me. Not only that, they hate this truth. that God doesn't change, that Christ doesn't change. Like I said, I read it last week. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I realize this scripture in 2 Thessalonians is referring to a future time. It is. But there's a strong delusion out there now.
That's right.
And it comes from the same place. There are those in Baptist churches under strong delusion. There are those in Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Holiness, Church of Christ, Church of God, and any other denomination you care to name, Catholic, whatever, that are under a strong delusion. Some just go because their parents make them. Some just go because it's the thing to do. You ought to go to church. But there are some working under a strong delusion. If someone tells you that they haven't sinned for 17 years or whatever it was, in thought, word, or deed. Thank you, David. They're under strong delusion.
Yes, they are.
They are believing the lie.
Yeah.
If another fool gets up on the TV and says the crucifixion ought never to have happened, and if I'd have been there, I'd have stopped it. If you'd have tried, God would have killed you.
Amen.
You're a fool. And you're under strong delusion if you believe that.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you believe the lie.
Yeah.
If someone tells you that the devil really had it bad at Pentecost, oh, it was horrible for the devil at Pentecost, because you know Jesus was just a man with the Holy Spirit in him, and here was 5,000 filled with the Holy Spirit. And yes, I can preach in that manner. Bless God. The devil had it really bad. That woman who said that was under strong delusion. That woman believes a lie. Either she's a really good actress, one or the other. It's all around us. It's everywhere. Because if you, well, it says it here in 2 Thessalonians 6 and 7. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He's not taken out of the way yet. It's working now.
It's working now.
The mystery of iniquity doth already work. They do not receive the love of the truth. This is not just a part of the future, although there are definite future events written here. Stuff to come. This is happening now. Right now. This has been happening for thousands of years. Tempted to say millions, but that ain't right. Been happening ever since there's been time, ever since there's been man. Because man hasn't changed, except for the fact that she's right. It's worse. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. And if you want to keep going, and worse, and worse, and worse. Because that was a couple thousand years ago that was written. Many, 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 many people believe a lie. Many, 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 many people have received strong delusion. It's out there, folks. And I'm going to bring you an example. This time for show and tell. I warned Walter about this, but he said he didn't stop me. Well, I went on vacation 2-3 weeks ago to Texas to see my son. And this is part of where the whole thing about condemnation came from, too, to start with this.
It wasn't Texas?
It was in Texas. As we crossed the Mississippi, we looked back and said, goodbye, oh, United States. But, you know, we still do that. That ain't our old story. 4 doors down from my son's house is a Buddhist temple. This is in the city of Austin, Texas. Now, this is relatively new because I've seen pictures of it from online, from the air. And this was not there at that time. But I went out on a recon mission with my camera. And I was across the street. And I'm telling you something, when we drove by it the first time, I thought, oh my God. And Debbie looked at me and she said, oh my God. Jason was driving, luckily, so I could look. This is the front of a building, about as wide across as this building here. Okay? It's glass. And this is what you see at night when you drive by. There is a little man right here. A real man. He's a monk. In his orange and purple. That tells you how big this little fella is. He's about 15 feet tall. And it's far enough away from the road to where like two car lengths from the road. That's all it is. And I'm riding, through Austin, Texas, and this is what I see. The home of John Hagee. Well, he's from San Antonio, but still. Close enough. Close enough. It ain't that far down the road. This is what you see. And I'll be honest, I was shocked. I am cynical. I thought I was as cynical as I could be, okay? I am a cynic from a long time ago. And actually learning some of the stuff from God and Christ makes me even more cynical about human beings and about myself. But I was not expecting to see that Buddha sitting there on that big old window. I really wasn't. And it did. It shocked me. And Jason said, yeah, there they are. And I said, okay. Now, my son, stepson is not a believer, but still, you know. He said, yeah, they hadn't been there too long. So, you can thank the internet for this. I went up online and found they have a website for this Buddhist temple 4 doors down from my son. And they had a thing on there that said they were going to put up pictures of the statue. Not idol. I said, they said statue. Okay. Same thing. Okay. But they were going to put up pictures of the statue, and they hadn't. So I went and took my own. Then I went up online, and it turns out the leader of this group, because we were down there second week of March, the leader of this group in India just died March 27th. Now, this is the article that they printed, and I just printed it off. They published it on the web, and I just printed it off. This guy, and they call him H.H. Drubwang Pema Norbu Rinpoche, or Rinpoti, I don't know. I tried to learn how to pronounce it, but Rinpoche means llama. Okay, it's another word for llama. H.H., I found out, stands for His Holiness. I didn't know he was Pope. Everybody's got to have something. You got to have something. But anyway, His Holiness, Yahoo here, died. Now, the way they describe his death, and they actually do, he went into a state of what they call thugdam. T-H-U-G. Thug. D-A-M. Dam. Now, this is a good thing. So I looked that up online, and what that is, because they don't explain it here, what that is really holy Buddhists enter what, when they're getting ready, they're going to die. They know they're going to die. Well, actually, supposedly they can literally give up the ghost. That's what they say. And that's what these people believe. They sit in what's called the lotus position, with their legs crossed, sitting up. And they enter a deep meditative state. And they call that Thugden. Even so, and they get in so deep in this meditative state that their heartbeat stops, their respiration stops. And then they die a few days later. Okay, I'm sorry. If your heartbeat stops and your lungs stop breathing, you're dead. I'm sorry. My wife's a nurse. I know about some of these things. But since he can sit in that position, even though he's dead, he's not breathing, he's not, they consider that meditation. Or at least they say it is. I don't know. Because, see, these rumors have gone on about people who can do this. And to be honest, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, a guy may be able to sit up. The body may stay up. I don't understand it. But stranger things have happened. The devil's got his miracles too. And signs, what do you call it, Walter? Lying wonders. Because they don't talk about Christ. But anyway, he was there for a few days, and then he croaked. And his face was one of radiance, and his body produced the scent of sandalwood, which permeated the whole room and its surroundings. The fragrance was so tangible in the air, it could be sensed even at the garden outside. The sweet fragrance of sandalwood is the sign that symbolizes the highest level of pure morality that His Holiness has perfected. Immediately afterwards, on the same morning, His Holiness's body was prepared for preservation so that the devotees can pay their respects to His Holiness and receive blessings from His Holy Body. This is the year of our Lord 2010. I don't know anybody with a holy body wandering around. Not even His Holiness the Pope. And certainly not this guy. There is no help within. And that's what these people proclaim. You look within. The reason they get in this Thugden position, in lotus position, is because supposedly, and this is a wonderful thing, because they believe in reincarnation. Okay. If you die in this position, it's easier for your spirit to go up and not go down and become a bug. Or something worse, a frog. Who knows? I don't know. That's what they... I read it. I'm not making this stuff up. Strong delusion.
Yeah, strong delusion.
Strong lies. I'm telling you. If you believe that anyone's body has holy attributes, you're believing a lie. And you're under strong delusion. Because if that body had holy attributes, why did they have to preserve it? Why could you receive a holy blessing? Why can't you receive a holy blessing from a rotten corpse? Why is it rotting? Because it's rotten. Why did it die? Sin. Death comes by sin. Salvation is of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's not of a man. It's not in a man. If you believe that anyone's body is holy or has holy attributes, you're under strong delusion. This goes for dead llamas, and it goes for live preachers. Because there's no difference between that stuff right there with the Buddha and this llama and prayer cloths from people who say they believe in Jesus. I've seen them. Now, you don't see them so much anymore, but you don't have to go back that far to have seen them. They'll get up there and they'll just start, seriously, they'll work themselves up into a, they'll wipe themselves with a cloth, they'll throw it off, they'll hand them another. Because they're going to sell them cloths afterwards. Because them cloths are anointed with the sweat of a man preaching the gospel of God in the power of the Spirit. No, it's not. It's unhygienic, is what it is. Okay? You know, I might do stuff like that, but, you know, I wash stuff. First of all, they weren't preaching the gospel. And second of all, ew! Like I said, my wife's a nurse. You got to watch out for bodily fluids. One of the main reasons they talk about the Black Plague and stuff cutting around the biggest swath in Europe was everybody went to church and prayed and they went kissing the feet of statues. So not only were you getting the saliva from somebody else, you was giving somebody else yours. Ew! I don't believe in holiness because of washing hands. I do believe in washing hands. General principles. Hygiene. Like I said, I'm married to a nurse. I hear about germs and bacteria and a whole lot of other stuff I'd rather not know. But what I'm saying here, a false Christ is no better than a Buddha statue. And it's all strong delusion. That they should believe a lie. And it is all around us. It followed me to Texas. And I'll tell you this, where I was across the street taking pictures was a huge parking lot of the Hyde Park Church of Christ. And guess what? Their bulletin's on the web too. And yes, I looked at it. I have no idea why I do this stuff some days. I am a glutton for punishment, Walter. Sharing the chalice for 100 years. I don't know what they mean by that for sure. But I hope they wash the thing. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness. It's deceptive. It can be deceptive in a Baptist church.
Yeah.
It can be deceptive in a place that says they're Sovereign Grace Church, Walter. It's everywhere. And there's a little scripture that says this. Try the spirits. Because there's a bunch of spirits out there. And 99% of them aren't any good. Because they believe a lie. And they teach lies. And we are to be aware of them and to avoid them. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place, and we ask for your blessings this day and every day, because we need your blessings. And we ask for your understanding and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because we need to grow. We need to understand. And we want to. In his name we pray. Amen.